Hallelujah. I love coming to a church that loves to worship, that I'm around a group of people that no matter what life has poured out on them, their love for God and their worship transcends everything that they've been through. I'm so thankful for that. I'm encouraged by that. I hope you're encouraged today. You're here to encourage somebody else, and somebody else is here to encourage you. It is so awesome being in the house of the Lord. And this morning's Sunday school, we're going to talk about salt and light. And it's going to be a simple study. And I want to encourage somebody here to think before I'm done, to share maybe a testimony on how God used you personally to be a salt and light for somebody in your life. Maybe recently, maybe it was years ago, maybe it's an unforgettable moment where you were just able to plant a seed. Maybe you were just there to be just right in that person's life. I want to share a personal testimony with you that God has done with me towards the end of this lesson this morning, and I pray that it'll trigger something in your mind to want to share with somebody else. I want to start by reading our lesson text this morning. It's in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You can be seated at this time. The kingdom of God is filled with change agents of salt and light. Brother Al is a change agent of salt and light when he goes to work. Sister Rose is a change agent of salt and light wherever she goes in her workplace. We are all called to be salt and light. This is our commission. And getting up on the wrong side of the bed in the morning is one way to describe a cranky, moody person. Unfortunately, having them go back to their home, go back to bed, and trying to get up on the other side of the bed is going to have no effect on them or me. It's kind of those thoughts that we have in our mind. Those wrong thoughts, those thoughts that are negative thoughts that we sometimes take to bed with us. And we wake up in the morning and we leave our house, and those thoughts affect other people. Thoughts and emotions have a profound effect on us all. I was working Friday in a room when a couple of men started talking about guns. You talk about guns right now, people's emotions are going to get kind of elevated. Have you ever started with good intentions to sit down and have a devotional time with just you and God? And you get about 3 to 5 minutes into that little personal devotion time, and your mind starts to race of all the things that you need to do that day. Part of you wants to sit there, and the other part of you says, "I need to get up. I am never going to get everything that I need to get done today." That's what happens when our thoughts and our emotions start to take off. Have you ever been in a room when you could be totally calm and one person just is highly agitated about something? I know people that that have problems with alcohol. They come in there and they are just, their emotions are get higher. They fluctuate. Their mood swings. They come in maybe on a job site hungover the next day, and it affects everybody on the job. And you do. We live in the world. We are in the world. We can't avoid it. Stuff like this happens, and we encounter stuff like that happens, and there's nothing we could do about it, but we can, what we can do is determine how we're going to react to it. Are we going to be peaceful? Are we going to be proactive? Are we going to have a knee-jerk reaction to everything that comes our way? And that just involves our personal daily walk with God. And sometimes we're going to get it right, and sometimes we're going to mess up. Sometimes we're going to kind of just have that knee-jerk reaction, and we're going to have those teachable moments, but there's other times we're going to be like, you know, we're going to be the peace in the storm that just came in this room. And that's how God uses us. Today, I just want to, on contemplating this topic for the salt and light, it trying to leave this world a little better than you found it. Robert Paul, founder of the Scouting Movement, made that statement in 1941 in one of his final messages. This admonition highlights the responsibility we should feel as human beings to make everything a little better by just being a part of it. This attitude seems to be driving the youth and young adults and service movements of the 21st century. Many new business ventures are run by young CEOs nowadays. Their mission is to save the environment, to build orphanages, to rescue animals facing extinction, to defeat poverty, and other selfless endeavors. Whether or not we agree with many of their dreams or even their idea of what better looks like, the fact is that many of them want to leave the world in a little better place than when they came here. We are called to be the salt and light. God's idea of a better world, though much different than some of the previous mentioned ideas, requires us to let the love and the purpose of Christ be made manifest through our lives. We leave the world a little better than we found it when we share the gospel as agents of salt and light in this world. Jesus did not tell his disciples that they were the sugar of the earth, but he told them that they are the salt of the earth. Salt has a certain properties, which is pretty amazing, and it functions that help reveal our role in the earth. One, salt is a preservative. Before refrigeration, people would rub salt on meat to keep it from spoiling. Actually, freezers and refrigerators only been around for 200 years. It was only in the early 1900s that we actually were able to have them in our homes. So salt served this purpose as a preservative. Secondly, it enhances flavor, and I think we'd all agree with that. We like to have a little bit of salt on about anything that we would have, even when we go out for dinner today after service. This world is bland. Only the Christian, the one who has been changed by the gospel and made new by his Spirit, can point the world to the people found in Jesus Christ. As Christians, as us, agents of salt and light, we have access and experience to true joy, to peace, and life. It allows us to spread flavor into the lives of others. Salt is a very strong compound. It is very necessary, especially this time of year in a place that we live in. It's nice for salting the roads. It's by definition, it is a form of energy that makes it possible to see things. Simple as that. When we lose our saltiness, personally, spiritually, we need to find a place of repentance. I believe it's everyone's purpose here today to not only be a part of the kingdom of God, but to be a useful part of the kingdom of God. That's why you're here. There's no action here. It's your desire to be here. It is a desire for you not to be just a spectator in the kingdom of God, but I want to be useful in the kingdom of God. And I'm around like-minded people here today, and we're here to encourage each other. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Paul contrasts the believer and the unbeliever with light and darkness. And in Ephesians 5:8-9 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So far, what I have read and what I have studied, God is not making this a request. This is a command that he tells us to be salt and light. He says if we lose our salt, we need to find a place of repentance. Because you know what? We're as good as going to get walked on if we lose that flavor that the world needs and desires in us. And that is sometimes we feel like life just sometimes does pour out on us. And to get that salt back, we get together in the house of the Lord. We begin to worship God. We begin to be around like-minded people. And we transcend. We push past those negative things that the world encounters, that we encounter in the world. And we retain the salt and the substance of it in our lives. And we walk out of here changed. We walk out of here with these vessels that have flavor that this world desires in Jesus' name. Aren't you thankful for that? If Jesus standing before the audience in the synagogue began reading the book of Isaiah, he revealed his purpose as the light of the world when he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind. He came to give sight to the blind, not only physically in this when he walked on this earth. And I got to say this, the things that he does, he said, greater things will we do. He came to give sight to the blind physically, but he also came to give sight to the blind spiritually as well. And we are that salt and light. We are that beacon of hope. We shine. When we walk into a room, we should shine from every direction. When Moses encountered the presence of God, something illuminated and radiated off of him. When we leave the house of God, when we leave our prayer closet, when we leave our alone time with God, something should illuminate off of us that just totally should be attractive to the world, I believe, And I believe that there are people in this house today that are, the world is attracted to you. And you have a positive influence on people. That the devil is a liar, and he will try to tell you how worthless you are. And you are of great worth to the kingdom of God. That's why you're being attacked as much as you do, and you are throughout the week and throughout your life. You may come to times when he will give you blows in your mind that battle between your ears, when you feel like you're ready to just hit your knees. But the most dangerous thing the enemy will do in your life is to try to get you to the place where you get to your knees. Because when you're down, there's only one place to go from there. Well, I'm down there. I'm not going to sit there and have a mindset of defeat. I'm going to have a mindset of prayer, because I'm going to come up a warrior, coming back stronger than ever. That was a big mistake when he came and he tried to defeat me between my ears. Do we agree? Awesome. Ye are the salt of the earth, and ye are the light of the world. Jesus discussed this idea with his congregation on the side of the mount. He was essentially warning them to avoid two errors some of us make, and some of us can find ourselves falling into if we allow ourselves to. He admonished them not to seclude themselves and hide from the world, for we have been placed in the world for a reason. We are not of the world, but we have been placed in the world. A big difference. It's not God's will for his people to remove themselves from the world. For this world's only source of hope is to see the hope that is in us. So we have to have contact with the world continually. The word that kind of made me cringe and kind of upset me was people try to refer us as cults sometimes. And you know what? Cults are very secluded, very separated. But you know what? We are not like that. We are anything but that. And if we start to isolate ourselves, that's kind of a cult mentality. We are separated. God has sanctified us, but we are called to go out in the world every day. We're here just for a few hours, but we are called to be the salt and light of the world. We're called to sprinkle some flavor, something that they desire, some hope, some love, God's saving power. That's what we do when we sprinkle. I hope your mind gets stimulated to something. I believe God has used many of you, and God has put you in positions to be salt and light. And I hope it's coming to your mind, because I believe we need to encourage each other in these next few minutes. Let's see. For both salt and light to be effective, they need to be scattered. Salt and a shaker is only useful when it's scattered over food. The same for light to be effective. It has to scatter. And how much more than that in the fall, during harvest season, you need to put your brights on, because if you go hit the back roads over by Silver Springs, those deer come up on the road quicker than you could probably hit your brakes at times. I've totaled a vehicle from a deer coming right up beside the road over by the Samanok Forest Preserve. So light is effective when it's scattered. It prevents, it tells us where we are and where we need to go, and shows us where danger is kind of lurking out there from a distance. Will salt and light help bring change to objects they come in contact with? Have you ever had a package of saltine crackers? After a while, you're going to get about halfway through that package, if you can. You're going to need something to drink. So it brings a desire for something to you want to drink. Our purpose as light in the world, as we see in Acts 26, 17, and 18, it says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness into light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. God is not giving us an option. He's saying, be salt and light. Don't hide. Don't hide what you have that is inside you. A few years ago, I was able, and I even shared this testimony with most of you, and some of you may hear this for the first time, I was able to give somebody at work a Bible study on Jesus' name baptism. He wrote that on a cardboard. He ripped it off of a box. A year later, when I saw him again, it was in the slot in his truck, and he remembered that, and he pulled that out. I sprinkled some salt on the situation at work. He was curious. He was open to it. That salt preserved a whole year later, and the very first thing, it wasn't 5 minutes in the conversation, he pulls that cardboard box, and he goes, I still got that from the conversation that we had a year ago. You are salt and light. You are preserving some things in people's lives when you come in contact with them day after day. It's not wasted. Your life has purpose. Your life has meaning. You're fulfilling something God has called you to do. And we are here to encourage each other. We are fulfilling God's calling in our life to be salt and light in Jesus' name. The human body can't even live without some form of salt or sodium. It's needed to transfer nerve impulses, contract and relax muscle fibers, including those in the heart and blood vessels, and maintain a proper fluid balance. It doesn't take much to do this. This was in 2006, a Harvard University study. When you get admitted to the hospital, you're going to get an intravenous fluid. There is sodium in that, and that there is to replenish and help you when you're dehydrated. That's just a common thing that is done in the hospital. We are given a great commission. Jesus told his disciples to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. If our calling and commission lines us with Jesus' purpose and plan, then his call to tell everyone the good news will involve bringing hope and healing to the hurting. Remember, Jesus said he came to give sight to the blind, to heal the brokenhearted. As salt and light, this is our mission. This is intentional. I want to share a personal story with you. And I wrote this down last night, and everything come full circle. This is just the past week of seeds that were planted, salt that was sprinkled months ago. A coworker came and dropped off some material on a job. It was on a Monday. We just had a Sunday school lesson the day before about Peter and John, and Acts 3 and 6 came to my mind. And John, being filled with the power and the presence of God, said, "Silver and gold have I none." My demeanor changed when that scripture came to my mind. The delivery man was in extreme pain. He expressed his pain. He was in anguish. He opened the back of the truck door, and he had hurt. Every move that he made, he was in a lot of pain. And the guy that I was working with at the day, he asked me what my problem was. I told him, I said, "I'll tell you at break time." We should be concerned when something isn't right. As a beacon of light and a salt of the earth, when somebody's hurting, when a guy comes to heal the brokenhearted, but he comes to heal those that are broken in body too, and broken in spirit. And it was incredible of the opportunity that we can have, that God gives us if we don't ignore it. I shared with him Acts 3 and 6 and the healing testimonies I've seen and heard over the years, some that were spoken in this very room. Some of those that you shared with me that I have the opportunity to share with somebody else. And that gives me license. When anybody in here shares a testimony, that is licensed for any of us to share. There's nobody that has a copyright on it. Whether it happened to somebody that doesn't even come to church, has walked away from God, I still have the opportunity, and God has still given me the responsibility to share those testimonies with other people. In Jesus' name. There was another co-worker sitting with us at break time that day. It was his first day back to work in a week. The week before, his son was coming back from a golf meet. He got in a head-on collision where his son's friend that was sitting on the passenger side of that seat died that day. I told him that our church had prayer with him the week before. His son Tyler had to have multiple surgeries and spent weeks in the hospital. He was just telling me less than 2 months ago about all the pins he had in his body. He was expecting to have an artificial hip replacement surgery. They were actually talking about having three of them in his lifetime because of his age. He just told me yesterday the pins came out of his hip and there's healing in his body. And there is no need for an artificial hip. I thank God for that. The co-worker who was in extreme pain that I mentioned to you in the beginning of the story, this week he came to drop off some more material on a different job I was at. And he felt comfortable to share with me about his wife reading the book of John. And I was able to tell him, I got some earbuds, and I listened to the audio Bible on my way to work many times during the morning. And so I was just listening to the book of John that morning. That was opportunity to spread salt on the situation. The fact that he felt comfortable, the fact that we could tell somebody, I'm praying for your family member, I'm praying for somebody that's hurting, You know what? They don't have to go hide in a corner and say, come here, can I talk to you in private? They'll just say it out in the open. There was like 10, 15 guys around. They didn't care. Hey, I want to tell you about my son. I want to give you an update. Thank God for that. I'm thankful for the prayers. It doesn't matter. We are illuminating light. We are spreading salt daily, whether you know it or not. You are agents of salt and light. When I got to tell you on a personal note that when I was listening to the book of John this week, and many of you read the Bible throughout the year, and you always get something new out of it that you never gotten before. And when I was listening to it this week, one day I listened to half the book, and the other day I listened to the other half of the book. Both times I listened to it, I couldn't stop weeping. John knew the heart of Jesus. And I've read that. Well, Sister Dad read that a few times. But when I heard it and I captured what John, God, Jesus, he knows our heart. He is very personal with us. And we need to not let our hearts get hard. Salt can even get hard. You need to shake that thing up a little bit. Maybe stick a butter knife in that container. You know, over time, it just sits there. It gets dormant. But it's made to be sprinkled. It's made to give flavor for things. It's made to preserve things. We have the opportunity every morning to wake up and let our light shine and sprinkle seeds of hope, love, and a saving power. We all have that opportunity, and we have a purpose. And we could share with each other testimonies. I love Sister Grimm's testimony that she shared with me when she first came here for attending another church about a man who flatlined right there in the church service. And they began to pray a prayer of faith, and that person came back to life. That is something that is an incredible story that should be shared around the world. And there was testimonies that I've heard when I was in South America that I still share with people today. They give people hope. I've shared about the man that had MS that was paralyzed in half his body. And I was at a funeral, and all that person can do when the opportunity came was just sit there with the jaw dropped, and they heard, they absorbed it. They absorbed it because it became a preservative. It stuck to them. It's not going anywhere. What they've heard can't be unheard. You know, the enemy will try to mess with your mind and say, what you see, you can't unsee. What you hear, you can't unhear. It goes both ways. What we share testimonies with other people, the light that we shine, can't be unseen, and what we speak can't be unheard. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the testimonies, the living testimonies that are here in this church every day that we get to be together with. This is our calling, it's our purpose and God's plan to be that beacon of hope. The people that God puts in our life is very intentional. God purposed it. Some of them may rub you the wrong way. That is for God to try to, he's working on you more than he's working on the other person. We must live a lifestyle that reflects God's glory. This happens in our in daily actions that are honest and pure. Our behavior should be season the atmosphere around us that scatter his light wherever it chooses to shine. And I've done a little bit early. I don't know if it provoked somebody here today, and maybe they want to share something that God has used them recently to. Sister Chrissy, I'm going to give you the mic, because I believe this is recorded, so I want to hear, anybody that wants to hear it online can hear this.
I've been working at my workplace, and I work with a couple women that are, one particularly rough. I've heard language I haven't heard in years on a consistent basis, but the Lord has helped me to just do my work, and sometimes they don't do their work, but the Lord has told me, you do what you know to do. You give an honest day's work regardless of what anybody else does. And I've done that. And if the conversation has been, unedifying, then I leave the room, you know. And I think at times that's made it hard for me. And I've had situations that have just not been very pleasant, but I've tried to keep a right attitude. And in that time, now the Lord has given me two opportunities. First, to share with the one girl my testimony and to discuss numerous things with her. And then just a week or so ago, the other girl and the first one I got to share my testimony again with. And it wasn't me approaching them, it was them coming to me and asking me. So the Lord allowed me to, you know, just live it before them and keep a right attitude, and they came asking me about it. So
that's a great example of light being attractive. And does anybody have anything else before? Okay, Sister Graham.
I've been working in the same workplace for 20 plus years, and I've been working with pretty much the same group of people. One of my coworkers, her father had passed away. And I had texted her, hey, you know, I can take the emergency phone for you this week. She's like, no, I can do it. Well, later that day, she brought me the emergency phone in, and she's really distraught because her father passed away. So you know what? I said, I can pray for comfort. There's nothing that I can really do for you. But right there in the office, and there was another girl standing next to me, I just wrapped my arm around both of them. I said, we're going to pray. And I prayed out loud for peace, for comfort, for the family, for her. And she left. And a little bit later, she texted me. She says, thank you for that. I really felt great. And my other coworker's like, how did you know what to say? I'm like, I don't really know what I said. But I said, it wasn't from me. It was from the Lord. Because I talk to him like he's my friend. I talk to him. And that's how I talk to God. And she's like, wow, that was just amazing. So I want to say, you know what? God is awesome in all situations.
Is there anybody else? Okay.
As you were teaching the lesson, I was thinking of something that I had experienced one morning just having my devotion. We have a glass top coffee table, and the sun had been shining in on the table. And on the table, here were all these rays of light just shooting out off the glass, you know. And the Lord just laid on my heart how we're not that source of light. That light on the coffee table was not the source, it was the sun. But the coffee table reflected its image, and that's just stuck with me ever since I saw that.
Thank you. Thank you for those testimonies. If we could just stand at this time, we're going to have a few extra minutes to pray for this morning's service when everybody gets up here. I want you to just look at somebody, look at your neighbor sitting next to you and say, you know what, you encouraged me today by being here. We need that. I'm encouraged by every person that I see here today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Or do you want We Are the Light of the World?
These altars are open if you would like to come and pray. Our Sunday school classes will be making the way up momentarily. I would ask that your prayer would be this. Lord, help me to be salt and light. Help me to be salt and light. Help me to impact and influence the world around about me. Help me to be used by you, God. I may never know the difference that I make when I walk into the workplace. I come in with a good attitude. I come in wanting to make a difference, desiring to be used of God, to minister to hearts and lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're here, God, to be instructed by you, God. Help us, God, to be salt and light to this world, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, God. To once again, God, be uplifted, God. To be strengthened in spirit, God. To do your will, God. To go forth from this place, God, as opportunity has it, God. To make a difference. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, I worship you. We are the light of the world. We got. Let the light shine. We are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We got. Let the light shine.
We are. the light of the world. We are a city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine.
Let the light shine.
Let the light shine.
Let the light shine. Let the light shine.
You may be the only one in your workplace.
Every
the only one who can truly be salt and light.
Every shame.
Lord, help me to seize the opportunity. I rub shoulders in this world, in social circles, God. Those people that you've placed around me, God. Help me to be salt and light.
But that's not who we are.
Help me to come to church, God, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, God, to be uplifted in spirit, that I would go forth from here and make a difference.
So wake up, sleeper, lift your head.
We were meant for more than this.
Fight the shadows, conquer death. The most of the time we have left.
We are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine. We are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine.
Let the light shine. Let the light shine. Let the light shine. Let the light shine. We are called to spread the news. Tell the world the simple truth. Jesus came to save. There's freedom in His name. So let it all break through. So wake up, sleeper, lift your head. We were meant for more than this. Fight the shadows, conquer death. Make the most of the time we have left. We are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine. We are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine. Let the light shine. Let the light shine.
Thank you. forsaken. You are faithful, God.